When we talk about mission as a church, when we talk about missionaries, when we talk about supporting missions giving, it's not just about helping people in less fortunate countries than us. It's not just about helping in poverty. It's not just about people in third world countries. Really, when we talk about missions, we are talking about the Great Commission that Jesus gave us. We are talking about making disciples of all nations. We're talking about sharing the gospel in our neighborhoods and onto the nations. But it does definitely start here. It does start here. You know, because someone prioritized this mission of the gospel in Moranbah, Bob now is sent to the nations. It often starts in neighborhoods and then spreads to nations. And because some people were faithful at attending a Sunday service and preaching the good news of Jesus, Bob even was free from that alcoholism, was free from that past, that gambling addiction. And now God was able to heal him and restore him and send him out to the nations of the world to go and help those in poverty and help those in need. Praise God that we don't just invest all of our time, energy, and effort overseas. Praise God we do it here, because there are people on our doorstep across Mackay that are seeking and looking for hope, that are looking for answers, that are looking for purpose, that are looking to know the love of God, because no one has shared it with them yet. And so I want to talk about this from neighborhoods to the nations. What is this mission that we're talking about? We've heard it said before in Matthew chapter 28. Let's read it together. Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20. Jesus says to his disciples, before he ascends into heaven, he gives them his final mission. And this is the mission that Jesus gives all those who believe in him. He says this, "All authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded of you. And never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age." Jesus gave us a clear mandate to go into all the world. And here at MCF, we desire that. A large portion of our prayers, of our finances, of our efforts are to support missionaries overseas. And a large portion of our energy and effort is also invested in you, because you are our missionaries to Mackay. And although we could put a picture up on the screen, in fact, that picture of our missions projects and things that we support should be there. But although we support a lot of this sort of stuff, and we have people all around the country, that we support and we give to and we bless and we pray for, and we believe that they're doing amazing things just like Bob is overseas, this is great, but you have the same Jesus that has given you the same mission. And if we are not doing this, what are we doing? This is a question I want to ask you. We can't just rely on Bob to transform India. Jesus needs you. And I find this fascinating, because God's master plan for restoring humanity is not to send angels down to fix problems in India, is not to send angels down to fix problems in Mackay. But he's actually positioning you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And there are people that are needing this truth and needing this hope, and God wants to restore you. You know, a lot of people have mentioned to me over the years, "I'd love to do things like that, but I'm just trying to get some things right in my life. And you know, I'm just still wrestling with some of these sins I'm trying to get rid of." And I'm like, my gosh, like, well, hurry up and get your life right. Hurry up and get your life right, because Jesus wants to use you. And what a joy it is when he does. What a joy it is when you can have a sense of purpose and calling and destiny, not just to live your life working a 9-to-5, but to live your life partnering with Jesus in restoring humanity back into union and relationship with him. You know, over the years, I've I've been on a few mission trips. I've been to the Torres Strait. I've been to Papua New Guinea, as Dad and Tony were missionaries over there. I've been to Sri Lanka. I've been to the Philippines. And as I've gone out on mission trips, I would encourage every single Christian in their lifetime needs to prioritize at least once going on a mission trip, because it'll open your eyes to more than what we see in our Western world, which a lot of it is fake. A lot of what we see in the Western world is fake. We cover up our pain. We cover up our poverty. We cover up our hopelessness. But you go overseas and your eyes are open and exposed to the truth that is out there, that there are really people suffering and really people in need. And one of the most valuable moments I can probably take away from these mission trips is when I'm with someone, whether it's a child or an adult, and I'm with them and I get to share with them the good news that I have found in Jesus Christ. That just because my past has been horrible, it doesn't mean my future has to be that way. That just because I feel like my identity is broken and hopeless because of what people have said about me, God speaks a better word. As Pastor Rob said last week, there is a greater truth. Although I might have felt like a sinner and I felt ashamed and guilty for all the things that I've done wrong in my past, Christ is speaking a greater truth over me, and there is an identity and a hope that I can find in Him that changes my perspective on the world forever. And the most valuable moments I can take away from these mission trips is when I'm with someone, I'm sitting with someone, maybe a child or an adult, and for the first time, they grasp an understanding of the good news found in Jesus Christ, and you see their eyes light up. You see their heart awaken. You see this hope inject back into them, like someone just breathed life on them for the first time. I remember praying with a young Buddhist girl in Sri Lanka, and she had this sore on her leg, and I remember praying with her. And she didn't understand what I was saying, but I had a translator beside me who could translate just a little bit of what I was saying to her. And she asked me, she grabbed my jacket and pulled me and said, please pray for me. Because I shared about this hope I found in Jesus. She had this big sore on her leg. And so we prayed for her. And in that prayer, I wasn't sure what was going to take place, but I said, Jesus, I pray you'd move in this young girl's life. And here she is, covered in her wraps and robes, and this young, beautiful Buddhist girl. And after we prayed in Jesus' name, amen, she started to hit her leg hard like this and slap it. And then tears welled up in her eyes. Her chin started to quiver and she started crying and crying and crying. And she said, she started to weep and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I said to the translator, what is she saying? She said, thank you, thank you, thank you, in her language. And I said, please tell her it's because Jesus loves you that you're healed today. And the translator said it, because Jesus loves you that you're healed today. And she just turned into a blubbering mess as she realized the God that we preach loves her and sees her, that she doesn't have to try and be perfect. She doesn't have to try and follow all of these rules of religion to try and get God's attention, but God has come to meet her right where she is right now. And I saw this young girl receive hope for the first time, that maybe I have a new perspective. Maybe there's a chance for me to be seen and loved by God and to live a different life to what I've been living. And all over the world, you can find this. When the gospel is preached, there is hope again. I've heard so many stories. You know, Christians have done amazing things around the world and they've done some terrible things. But I think the good far outweighs the bad. But I've seen and heard of stories of Christians coming and bringing education into poor communities and lighting up that community. We've seen Christians go forth and start schools and start orphanages and do restoration for widows and create opportunities for work and pathways for a new life. But even when they haven't done anything practical, I've even heard stories of missionaries bringing the gospel into a community that does not have it and just simply sharing Jesus with somebody. And all of a sudden, within a tribe, within a culture, within a community, there's this purpose that is injected into the life of that community and this hope that is restored for a new way of living. You're telling me that I can actually forgive those people who have been murderous towards me? You're telling me that people don't, that if I follow Jesus and if we have this kingdom culture in our community, that people aren't going to steal from me anymore? That there is now a moral compass and a new way to live? That the way of Jesus is actually going to change our community? And when the gospel is preached, when the good news is preached, whole communities are transformed. You see people come from slums to now meeting the Savior, and that slum transforming actually into a healthy, holistic community when the gospel is preached. And you know what? I worry about the Western world today that we live in, because here we find ourselves in a place like Mackay, in a place like Australia, where people have heard about Jesus, but they haven't seen people model it. They've heard about Jesus and they've watched people, politicians even, wave their flag that says, I'm a Christian, or say that prayer once a year. But they treat other people like they're going through hell. And they treat other people poorly and they don't see the same value for life as Jesus did. And I've watched people say that they're Christians and live nothing like Christ. And you know what that has resulted in? An Australia that now no longer knows this hope of the gospel. And we still have people today, even in our own backyard, that are suffering in poverty, that are struggling with an addiction to alcohol, with materialism, maybe wealthy as wealthy could be, but deep down in their heart, this void and this emptiness on the inside. What needs to change? Well, I believe a good start would be the church to start acting more like Jesus. That when we see someone in need, we don't walk past them, but we stop like the Good Samaritan and we bring hope. That when we see a mother at Woolworths struggling to find money to pay for her groceries, or we see her struggling to keep her kids quiet in the line, that we would go up to her and say, you know what? Hey, I'm going to cover your groceries today. Why? Because God loves you. I've seen this happen then. I've seen this in our own backyard. Something as simple as paying for a lady's groceries bring hope and life and love back into her heart again. I've seen businessmen who are wrestling with finances and look like they have it all put together on the outside, but deep down are so depressed. And in a moment of prayer, since the love of a father, they no longer need to prove themselves, but they have this acceptance in God and it changes the way they go back home and treat their family. We are called by God with this mission that Jesus gave us before he left the earth to say, go and do what I've done. Go and teach people what I've taught them. Evangelism and sharing Jesus with people is not about trying to get more subscribers to another religion. It's about opening a door for someone to encounter Jesus when the door was shut for them before because they didn't know any better. We put this pressure on ourselves that, oh, you know, I don't know if I can really share Jesus with that friend at work or that person that's struggling. I don't know if I could really ask them to pray for them. We put so much pressure on ourselves in this moment because we don't know what's going to happen. Let me tell you, friends, you don't need to control the outcome. You just need to open the door. You don't need to control the outcome of the miracle. You just need to open the door. Something as simple as someone struggling in your workplace or struggling in your family and a simple phrase of, would you let me pray for you? It'll only take 10 seconds. Can bring a hope and sow a seed in their heart that God sees them and they are not alone. You know, even on Friday night, a dad came to pick up his child from youth and I'd said, he'd shared with me how his immunity has been compromised and he's been getting sick year after year. And I said, mate, would you let me pray for you? It'd only take 10 seconds. And he goes, oh no, stuff that. And I said, you sure, mate? Are you scared? And he's like, no, I don't need any of that. And I said, all right, well, I want you to know that when I think of you as you're leaving this place today, I will be praying for you. Did I run home crying? Is my life ruined? Have I dishonored God now that it didn't work out the way I'd planned? No. What's the worst that happened? He walked away thinking, well, maybe this guy's actually going to pray for me. Wow, maybe these Christians actually believe what they practice and what they preach. There are so many people in our world, and you know them, even right now as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit is putting some people in your minds, in the screen of your mind, in your attention. Because there are people in your world that need to know this love, this truth that we have found in Jesus Christ. And I reckon more people would actually change their perspective on what we talk about as Christianity if more people who said they were Christians actually walked like Christ. Instead of walking past people, they would walk up to them with hope. Does anyone else agree with me today? This is not a message to try and condemn anyone. This is inviting you into a higher calling. This is inviting you to live with a purpose that God has put in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hey, worship team, you're welcome to come and join me on stage when you're ready. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I was chatting with a friend this week about this. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, some days I find myself confronted with people who are struggling and I want to bring hope. And I want to bring life and I want to say something simple to them like, hey, can I pray with you? Or, hey, Jesus loves you, man. It's going to be okay. Hey, can I stand with you? Can I support you? Do you need a meal? Do you need someone to reach out and help? What do you need? How can we support you? And sometimes I find myself when I'm confronted by someone in need, feeling like, you know what? I didn't pray this morning. I rushed out of the house. Or you know what? I'm feeling a bit like I've got a headache today. I'm just feeling like I'm having an off day. God send someone else. God send an angel. Or, you know, oh, I feel like I'm having an off day. I'm not really feeling strong in my faith today. Lord, I pray you'd do something for them, but it's not going to be me today. Anyone felt like that before? Just Peter and Alyssa, right? You know, something I realized recently is if you believe in Jesus and you walk in a relationship with him, not just on Monday, but you have given your life to him. The Bible teaches us that his Spirit comes and dwells within us. The Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, comes and dwells within us. Did you know that the Holy Spirit doesn't have an off day? The Holy Spirit does not have an off day. Did you know that Christ in you doesn't have an off day? Did you know that even when you have a headache, he's still the hope of glory? Did you know that even when you didn't pray this morning, he's still the hope of glory? Did you know that even when you're feeling weak in your faith, Christ in you is still the hope of glory? And when you're in your workplace and when you're in your school and when you're in your family and people are sick or people are in need and things are going wrong, even if you feel weak, Christ in you is still the hope of glory. And you can call upon him because it's not my works that do anything for that young Buddhist girl and bring healing. It's all him. It's all him. It's Christ in you. The same Christ that's in Bob is in you. The same Christ, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. You don't need more training. You don't need more Bible college. You don't need a prayer from Pastor Rob. God's plan for restoring and uniting humanity back to himself, it's Christ in you. So let's get some confidence in our hearts again and recognize I'm not just a weak little old sinner. No, I'm a child of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of the King. And if you truly believed it, we would live different. If about 200 people, 300 people that might be in this room today truly believed it, maybe we would see more people in our community with hope in their eyes again, with life in their heart again. Maybe we'd see more people off the street and back into homes as they suddenly realize there is hope for the future. as they realize that there is a God who loves them and they're not called to this lifestyle of lack, but they're called to a lifestyle united with a king. There is hope. And maybe you're in that place today where you feel like you're in need and you're like, well, Cain, I need God to touch me first because I don't know if I can help someone else. Good. You're exactly where you need to be. God loves you. He sees you. He wants to walk with you. He doesn't just want you to subscribe to a religion. He wants to fill your life with His Spirit. He wants to fill your legacy and your destiny and your story with miracles of His amazing grace. He wants to fill your workplace with His presence and with the culture of the kingdom of God. He wants you. Can we stand today? I want to pray. And pray that God would do a work in us, that our eyes would be open to see people the way He sees them, and to not just be those people that walk past someone, but walk to them. Jesus said, "Whatever you do for the least of these, you have done unto me." Whatever you do for the least of these, Jesus says, you've done unto me. But He also said this, "Whatever you don't do, you didn't do for me." God is looking for some people, not that are perfect, but that are willing to say, yes, use me. When we close our eyes in this room today, I'd love to pray with you. Lord Jesus, I pray for all my brothers and sisters in this room tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would fill them with the same hope that Bob carried to India. That you'd fill them with the same hope that we share in these songs. That you'd fill us, Lord, in this place with the hope of glory in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Help us to see people the way you see them. And I thank you, Lord, that you have not filled us with the Holy Spirit just so that we could have goosebumps on a Sunday, but you filled us with the Holy Spirit to be a witness. So Lord, when we're feeling weak, I pray that you are strong. When we're feeling weak and don't know what to say, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that as we open our mouth in faith, you would speak through us and speak for us, that we can share the testimonies of how God so loved us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Revive us with a passion for the lost today. With every eye closed and every head bowed, if you're here today and you know in your heart that maybe you haven't been walking with Jesus, or maybe you've been angry at God or angry at the church or angry at things in the past, but you know in your heart something is stirring today and you feel that heartbeat rising and you know, I wanna get back on track. I wanna walk with purpose again. I wanna walk with hope again. I want that life to be breathed on me again. And if that's you, with every eye closed and every head bowed, I would love for you to do something so that you say, God, that's me. God, that's me. In your heart, He hears you, but I wonder if you'd just pop up your hand, if that's you. If you're saying, I need to walk with God again. I want to walk back on track with God again. You can say, yes, God, that's me in your heart. You could raise your hand and say, God, I need that. Fill me with that hope. Put me on the right path of purpose with you again. Let me be a light to my community. Thank you, Jesus. Can we say this prayer together, church? Come on, repeat after me. Jesus, I believe you are our living hope. You are all that we need. Fill me with your Holy Spirit today. Fill me with boldness and a confidence in the truth of the good news. Jesus, I declare you are my Savior and my Lord and the hope for humanity. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for walking away from your purpose. Today I step back on track. Align my focus to yours and lead me on your path. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I'm so excited to hear stories next Sunday from you when you share, hey, you know what? I prayed for someone this week that I've never normally prayed for. I'm excited to hear stories of you being a missionary in your workplace, in your community, in your school. I'm excited to hear the stories of lives that are changed when you bring that hope. Amen? Come on, why don't we worship today in closing?